It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First-Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, from beautiful Binghamton, New York, welcome to Tales with TR, episode 199B. Next episode, I suppose, will be in the 200s, which means nothing. I don't know how many actual podcasts I've done, because the whole A and B thing happened, I don't even remember, somewhere around the 80s or 90s. And I guess each A and B would be two podcasts in themselves. Or one each, I mean. So each week I'm doing two, not one. But to tell you the truth, I'll tell you something that is honestly a true story. I don't give a shit. What does it matter how many podcasts I've done? I couldn't care less. But what I do care about is the Newfoundland Growlers. So obviously I've had a lot of questions on that, okay? Now, this being a B episode, I'm sorry, guys, I don't have you a guest. And it's embarrassing that I don't, because I just got back from Halifax. Right now I'm in Binghamton doing Hockey for Hope. And on this is Friday, Saturday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was in Halifax with Carey Price, Josh Deck. D-U-E-C-K. I assume that's Deck or Duck, but it's Deck. And anyway, he's an unbelievable dude, man. He was paralyzed, waist down. In a ski accident. And in his words, he was kind of showing off. And it's hard for me to talk about because I've heard him speak. He went on stage. We all spoke for a little bit, and man, his story's rollicking. But anyway, now he does it, and he did like this move, like a full flip in the extreme games as a Paralympian. And he's got a fucking great attitude. I knew about, obviously it's Carey Price. Okay, I'll get to that. And I knew about Atiba Hutchinson, the soccer player, legendary, six times Canadian player of the year. I didn't realize that, but I knew of Atiba. It's hard to be from Canada, even if you're not into soccer, and not know who that is. And Rod Black, of course, legendary broadcaster, was mediating or moderating the whole thing. So you had myself, Josh, Atiba, Black, and of course, Carey Price. Now, I had all those guys, but it was just, you know, we were doing so many events, and I even looked over. Josh agreed, Atibet agreed to do my podcast, and like Carey Price was there, and I've never met him before. I've been up there for alumni stuff, while they were playing, and I just never went down in the room. I'll get to the Newfoundland Growlers in a second, by the way. And Carey has the exact same path as me. I don't know anybody else. Like directly, he went Quesnel Millionaires, Junior A, Tri-City Americans, Major Junior, Montreal Canadiens. Now, of course, after that, his career went one way, and I went the other. But I'm just a few years older, and I just came right after him in these places. And it was interesting to sit down and chat with him because we had the same experience in three different places in the world and had never come across each other. And in each place was the same sort of thing. I mean, I know I'm not a goalie, but I went eighth overall. He went fifth. Same thing in the WHL draft, right? He was a first round pick. So was I. Went into Montreal. Same thing. Now, of course, I can't comment on winning Olympics and playing meaningful games in Montreal or anything, but you know the same people, the same trainers, a lot of the same, you know, common denominators, players wise, in each place. And just, it was just nice to catch up. And I tell you this, man, that guy is fucking the genuine real deal. There's so many things I could say, but he really was. And at the end of it all, we had flights at 5 a.m., right? The event ended after it was shut down, and, you know, everybody comes back to the reception area, and you don't want to jet out of there. I mean, you know, they pay you well. You're raising a ton of money because that we're there, so you don't want to leave right away. So you stick around, you talk with people, and like you should. But with a flight at 5, and when the thing ends at like 11, 11:30, you're like, okay, this is going to be we're going to probably sacrifice some sleep tonight. So we got back. As we're on the way to the hotel, this minor hockey group were there for this SEDMHA, S-E-D-M-H-A, hockey tournament. It happens every year. We won it back in the day with the Mount Pearl Blades, the Adam Championship. I'll never forget that. And because it was just such a huge deal in minor hockey, I always talk about the Quebec PB tournament, but the SEDMHA tournament, and when we were there, it was being played in Cole Harbour. I'm not sure where now, but it's, I think, the same spot. Because they were getting together in Halifax, right? So it was happening while we were kind of doing the event. So we're on the way to the hotel, and the guy gives us a heads up, says, you know, the lobby is packed. Do you guys want to go in the back door? So, well, first of all, I said, like, what? Now, from my perspective, I'm like, I don't want to go in the back door if people actually want to get an autograph. If people want to hang out, if it's like a bar that's packed, and just because we're walking through, people happen to be there, because then you get the people that don't really care. They just happen to be sitting in the bar. But, well, he's famous, or he got that guy there was goalie for the Olympic team. That guy, you know, and they might not. I mean, everybody knows Carey Price. But if it's passionate fans, it's one thing. You know, people having a beer and you happen to be going through. Who's that? That's a guy from Shores. Oh, he's on TV. Let me get his picture. You know, like, it's just like, I don't have time for that when I got 2 hours to sleep. I can't speak for Carey Price, but I pretty much think it's the same thing. However, when it's people that really want an autograph and they're going to wait up and see you, and it's kids. So when the guy said it and Carey said, well, who is it? Like, you know, are these, how packed is it and who is it? And he said, it's packed. It's about 30 kids. And I'm like, packed? I thought you meant like 400 people, like the Beatles arriving in fucking New York in 1964, February 6th. It's not quite like that now. Okay. So we went in. Now, yeah, it wasn't packed at all. There was probably two hockey teams worth of kids, though. And, you know, their parents came down. It was a nice little gathering. So not only did we sign them, and when I say we, I mean, they wanted my autograph. But, like, it was a very, very, very far second or third or fourth, considering who we were with, the company we were with. And number one is obviously Carey Price. So all those questions were basically directed at him. And he says, no, we'll just go in regular. And when we went in, I'm glad we did, because these kids were fucking elated. And they saw me at first, and I came in kind of first, and they were like, oh, there's Terry Ryan or Ted Hitchcock. You know, a few of them came over. There was moderate level of buzz. And then Carey walked behind me with his big cowboy hat on and his big smile, and they just about fucking freaked. Well, they did freak. But one kid, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. He nearly fainted. He started to, like, shake and almost cry. He couldn't believe it was Carey Price. So Carey went over there. took a picture with each and every one of them, signed everything, had conversations, you can imagine, right? And, you know, at some point, it's like 1:30 in the morning, we've got to be up at like 3:30, and people are going, hey, so what was it like to win the Olympics? Which is a very open-ended, like, such a bad question at that hour, right? Like, well, what was it like? Like, I don't know, good, great? Like, you know, you got to get into it. And he did. He got right into the story. He said, well, you know, it's like the Navy SEALs. You look around and everybody was so perfect at their job. You look around the room and you were so confident because each one of those was a master at their craft. He said, it reminded me of being in the Navy SEALs, you know, all these perfectionist people at their particular job, at their occupation. It was interesting. And he went on, you know, and he didn't have to do that. So then we sat down and they made us some appetizers like really late at the Westin downtown Toronto or Halifax. And myself, Rod, Josh, Carrie, and a few of the people there. That was the Progressive Club's annual sports dinner. So they sat down with us. We had an awesome, awesome time. Carrie got on the flight with me. He was going as far as Toronto. And I said, fuck. So we got up in the morning. We had a great, great chat on the way to the airport. And then I said, Carrie, like, do you just travel like normal? So when I actually got to the airport, I was in my own car. So I got out there and I figured he would go up to the lounge or wherever. And like, but so I was sitting like outside the gate, right? And anyway, he comes walking over. I said, Jesus, you just go around the airport like normal just because you must be mobbed. And he said, the boys always said I'm kind of like the Sasquatch. You don't really know if it's, he said, is that pricey or is it? And I told me another big story. And I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. Because people were kind of like, I looked at people and they're like, no, it can't be. I went over to get a Tim Hortons and he kind of stayed back sitting down. I could hear people, is that Carey Price? No, no, it can't be Carey Price. And I wanted to say, you know what, it is Carey Price. But I didn't want to, it did not that he seemed bothered by it. I just said, you know, I'll let these people figure it out on their own. Because, you know, at times he's mobbed like you would think. I mean, you could make an argument the guy's the best goalie in the history of whatever. You know, Canada, the Canadians. Now, I'm not trying to be blasphemous here towards Dryden or Waugh or by extension Brodeur or Hasek. I'm just saying that guy's in the fucking conversation for the best goalie that ever put on a pair of pads, right? And he's a Montreal Canadiens goalie, which, you know, for Habs fans is a religious experience almost, cheering on players of that caliber. And, you know, as a Canadian, he won us the fucking Olympics and he stood on his head. And he took Montreal Canadiens teams that, for me, him getting to the final a few years ago and the last great performance as a Carey Price is just as impressive as like Ken Dryden winning it in 78, 79. Right? Because seeing that the 70s teams were so good and Montreal Canadiens, I'm not going to say were so bad. They got the playoffs, but they were definitely an outside shot. Anyway. The point is, the guy was fucking unbelievable. And then anyway, so he's sitting way up on the plane, obviously in first class, and I'm about three or four seats back in regular class. I think they call it executive in business now or whatever. I'm just old school, I guess. First class. I don't mind separating the classes. I don't mind. People say, oh, it's not good to word it like that. That's Carey fucking Price. If there was like a level above the pilot, I would assume he'd be sitting in a gold chair, whatever, like fine. Whatever you want, Carey. He said, should be flying for free everywhere he goes. But anyway, so he was in first and I was, like I said, I'm going to say seven rows back from where he was. So he got off the plane before me and like, you know, I take my time. I probably got on, you know, the rush getting off the plane, probably 3 minutes behind him, probably a little bit more. So I'm getting off the plane going my way. He's going his. I'm thinking, you know, he's not. That's the last I saw Carey Price. I just assumed it. I wasn't even really thinking it because I assumed as much. And I got off, man. He was waiting right there for me. And he shook my hand. He said, it was great meeting you. And, you know, he gave me his contact info, which is wild. Just, you know, I find it's a sign of trust. And just said, you know, I go back to Tri-Cities a lot because I was talking about going back. He said, yeah, my wife's from there. He said, I go back a lot. If you ever want to go fishing or something, he does a lot. And I fished a lot in Tri-Cities back in the day, myself and Drew Schoenick. And I loved Tri. I used to stay there. Everybody else would go home and go to school. And I stayed and finished school. And I'd stay there many, summers on and off. And anyway, we had just a great conversation. So that was an awesome time. Thank you to Halifax and everybody involved in bringing me in for the Progressive Club dinner. Honestly, it was fantastic. As a lot of these events have been, the one I'm at right now, Hockey for Hope. I'm going to play a game tonight. I'm here in Binghamton and we're raising money for cancer. And really, really looking forward to that. I guess for cancer, for the fight against cancer. That's a better way to word it. Now, anyway, listen. So, and I'm sorry I don't have a guest. I could have had them. I told Carrie, I said, I'm not going to ask you. It just maybe in years from now when we're buddies or know each other on some other level, but I just can't do what everybody else does and say, can you give me this, give me. It was nice to meet you, Carrie. And you know, maybe our friendship will blossom, but I felt like I was trying to use him. So no, he's not going to be on my podcast, but some of the other guys are. And I can't say he won't, maybe at some point in the future, but I don't have it in me to, same thing with Bedard when I met him. You would think I would try to twist that somehow into him coming on, but now there's a respect and there's, like I said before, you look at everybody else, want something from these people all the time, whether it's just a picture, an autograph, or a fundraiser or something, which is all good. I get all that. I understand it, and I understand it, and it's to be expected. And of course, I love what fans do. They pay the bills, man. They create the excitement in the culture of hockey. I'm just saying, I didn't want to hound them any more than they've been hounded. They're superstars. I'm not, but I'm within the industry, and I see it happen, and I know what it's like.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
So the Newfoundland Growlers, guys, here it is. It's a very layered thing. People say it's too bad that you guys didn't get enough fans to support the team. Well, that's not really the case. We had lots of fans. I think I think the average said 4,200, and even that's down because in St. John's, Newfoundland, okay, first of all, now this year it's down because there was a couple of weekends, there was major storms. So six games and when teams come in, they play three games at a time, usually three games in four nights. Right. So there was two like huge snowstorms. There's like 500 people, if that, in the building. One game, there was like 10 people there. I mean, like 80 centimeter, like crazy storms. So this particular year, I think the average of the attendance was down. But again, if you take like six games out of almost 30 and you put next to nothing, trust me, I go to all the games I can, which means not a lot this particular year. But Penny Lane and I go to multiple games every year. This year we've been to about a half dozen. And then the one that I played. And again, one of them was sold out. Another one was sold out. It was Teddy Bear Toss Night. And most of the other ones, you know, there's a lot of fans. I don't need to. It holds six. We get four plus, like, and many times over five. So that's not really the problem. Now, what happens is that I know there's a terrible deal with the city. The city owns the arena, the Mary Brown Center, and apparently charges the most rent of any team in the league. Okay. And I don't know what it is. I don't know the specifics. I don't really need to know the specifics. I know that that's a problem. That is definitely causes a lot of internal conflict within the city council and the Growlers organization, right? Because it's public. So, I mean, it's publicly talked about. So there's that. Now, we agreed when we took on the team, and when I say we, I mean the group of owners now, Dean McDonald and company, to pay for everybody's travel coming in. So if the Idaho Steelheads come into St. John's, Newfoundland to play against the Newfoundland Growlers, we pay the flights. Now think about it. If you're in, I don't know, think of an American League trail. Oh, I'm singing in Binghamton. So say I'm in the American Hockey League back in the day. Binghamton now or in the Federal. But let's just say Binghamton is here. Rochester's about 2 hours northeast. Syracuse, I don't know, is an hour maybe northwest. Rochester is maybe southeast. Whatever it is, like it's all in the same little area. So if you've got a team, and if I live in Binghamton and I'm playing against Rochester, it's just a drive up the road. Every team comes into St. John's as crazy travel because you got to get all the flights and then you got to get all the gear here. You got, you know, it's an island. So rather than explain to you how travel works, just picture how much money goes with that. And then the hotels and everything. And we pay for that. And we did it because we knew teams would have a, maybe that would be a sticking point, you know, all the travel. So every team that comes in now, I've heard that's between $60,000 and $100,000, which makes sense if you do the math in your head, all those teams coming in. So every weekend we have to pay that extra money. And with a poor deal, again, this is what I'm just reading in the papers. And on top of that, I've heard nothing but good about Dean McDonald, and I'm not sure who he owns the team with. He's one of the owners. He's often vocal in the paper when talking about the Growlers, is probably why. And I think he's majority owner. In any case, if my facts are slightly off there, Dean has a big part to do with it. And I mean, brought the team. They won it in their first year. They were in the finals, I believe. They're second, I think. They've had success, and they have all kinds of fans that love it. It's part of the community. Of all the teams we've had, it seems to me that the Growlers really stuck as much or more than any of the other teams. And I mean stuck with the people, like, you know, as far as face painters and jersey buyers and interest in bars, restaurants, and schools and the other, whatever. But Dean isn't, like, he owns multiple teams in the league. I know Trois-Rivières, but I think there's more. I think there's more than that. So if you own multiple teams in a league, you're probably going to be less partial to the one, you know what I mean? Like, if I owned the Newfoundland Growlers, I would do everything in my fucking power. Everything, including, like, whatever personally, like, whatever I would have to do, I would do it because I'm from there and it's part of my heritage, and it would be the one team that I owned, or whatever you wanted to say. I don't have enough money to own a team, but if I was in an ownership group and we were all from St. John's, Newfoundland, running a team there, then it'd be a little bit different, right? Now, I'm not knocking Dean and the group that are the Growlers, but I'm just saying they own multiple teams. So as all this is happening, he's trying to balance Trois-Rivières, who are also going to fold. They didn't, they stayed. And other teams that he owns and manages, whatever the fuck he does with it. I really don't know. And I'm assuming if he's got that stuff, he must have gotten the money somewhere. So he has other businesses. So, you know, at some point, if you're a businessman and you're in it to make money, or business people, you'll probably say, fuck, man, this isn't a great deal. Now, I don't know much more. I just wanted to tell you guys that it's not that we don't have fans. And when they said we lost our team, there's a fifth team we lost. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. We've never lost a pro hockey team, ever. We had the St. John's Maple Leafs, and that was Toronto's farm team. Now they're the Toronto Marlies, but Toronto wanted their prospects more accessible in the area. And it also costs less for them to fly them in and out when they're playing across the street at Ricoh Coliseum in Toronto, which makes sense. I can't argue with that. Same thing. We had the St. John's Ice Caps. It was the Winnipeg's farm team. Winnipeg moved. Then it was Montreal's farm team. And Montreal moved to the Laval Rocket, which is across the street from the fucking Bell Center, right? So, and I can see that. If I'm an NHL owner, I'd love for the farm team to be in the same city. Now we got our group of our main 45, 50, 55, however many the roster is now. You know, main players in our organization are all going to be in the same area. I get that. I totally understand it. So I was surprised when we did get the East Coast League team that wasn't affiliated at all. Because usually being affiliated, I know the Growlers are affiliated, but when you're the direct farm team, like the St. John's Ice Caps. I don't know how the finances work. I'm guessing there's a little bit more of them, right? When you're the direct farm team and you're being developed and these players are not off the radar or about to be big time on the radar in the NHL, you're probably going to spend a little bit more money. Anyway, we never lost a pro team due to finances, and we're not losing this team because we don't get any fans, right? When I say these things about the ownership group, I don't know, they treated me great while everybody there did. I've got no complaints. I understand if you're a business person and you need to make money that, you know, and I also understand that if you're the East Coast League and you're not paying your bills, you get kicked to the fucking street. I understand all that. And I don't even really want to be involved in that conversation because I don't. And whenever I try to be there, there's nuances. I just don't know what I'm talking about. What I do know is about the fans and the connection that the Growlers have to St. John's, Newfoundland. And it's very heartfelt, and it's a unit. It transcends hockey. Players like Todd Skirving, who's the captain there now, he's from Thunder Bay. He moved to St. John's, and he loves it, and he chooses to stay there. It's not so much a hockey thing as it's a comfortable place for him to play hockey because he loves living there, and he'd never been there before. And players like Zach O'Brien, my good buddy, who came – one of the fucking best minor leaguers on the planet, got his Calder Cup, plays in the American League every year a little bit with the Marlies, but he plays with the Growlers for the most part because he loves playing there. Started this year over in Bratislava, doing well overseas. He's a fucking – Zach O'Brien is made for European hockey. But, right, come back. I love playing in my hometown. Adam Party, longtime NHLer, came back, right? They won it their first year, not because – a large – He helped. I mean, he came back and played. No other team was getting Adam Party. Played because he loves the community, loves Newfoundland, and there was a vibe. Right? My good friend Marcus Power. Guys like Adam Daw playing there this year that came up a Newfoundland prospect. Played college and kind of a couple of years of college, maybe was dogged around a little bit, and came in and started to find himself. Really playing well. I don't know that he would have gotten the chance on another team. Jordan Escott, my real good friend, 10 years off of pro hockey, comes back at 31 and makes the Growlers, right? Like all kinds of – people follow me think my story was – and it was. It was definitely a big story, and it was – you know, it kind of – I talked about transcending hockey. It did for other reasons. I think my story was a life story. It was, you know, connection to people and you know, my daughter being there and – generations coming together and hockey film and the other, and you know, so my thing was standalone on its own. I'm talking the Growlers and their hockey story, you know, winning it that first year and so many people, the parade and then you know, Alex Newhook won the cup a couple of years later, and then they all kind of got tied in together, and downtown St. John's became this it's just, yeah, there's partying and there's fun and there's Irish music and there's beers and there's rum and food and all the other, but hockey is the lifeline. I'm telling you, even people that don't watch that aren't into it, George Street's right across from the Mary Brown Center. And I can't tell you how many games I've gone over to with people that don't give a fuck about hockey. They just love the Growlers, right? The Growlers come down and, you know, spend money. They hang out. To the local Newfoundlanders, they're the cat's ass. They're the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? So when the boys come down to Greensleeves or, I don't know, I talk about Merchant and Blue and wherever the fuck they go, right? They're idolized. They're loved, right? So, like I said, I've been over to games with people. I worked in the bar industry for a while, restaurant industry over there, Greensleeves, TJ's, whatever. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone over with people that would never, ever go to a hockey game otherwise. They're just buddies with Todd Skirving. Oh, Skirbs is playing? Well, come on, let's go over. Let's have a few beers, Terry Bye. Come on, let's go over and support him. Now, what's offsides anyway? Can you tell me what offsides is like that? Right? That's what I mean. It's so this is beyond us losing our team as far as you know, the vibe and the money goes downtown because the downtown restaurants and bars are going to really, really lose a lot of money. But it's not just that. It's part of our community. And I know that St. John's and by extension Newfoundland, when it comes to that, to pro hockey, they're devastated, man. They're devastated, and I feel bad. And I don't know if I'm the East Coast League, I don't give us another chance. Right? People go, oh, someone else will come in. Well, it's going to be more than that. I don't think anybody can come in now. And I mean, I'm don't know anybody on the East Coast League executive, but if I did on the board of governors or whoever, whoever decides, I'd be really wary about giving a team to Newfoundland for the same reason they were wary before. And now we just fucked it up and dropped the ball. So anyway, I just wanted to say in defense of my city and my province, we didn't lose pro teams before, and not in the sense of financial ruin. We didn't go bust. We didn't fold. And it wasn't a problem in lack of fans. We have lots of fans. Anyway, I wish the best to all those players that had to disperse now. And I just wanted to give one final heartfelt thanks to everybody, including Dean McDonald, the owners. Like I said, they deal with their shit, I'll deal with mine, but they treated me extremely well. All the players, the trainers, the coaches, everybody behind the scenes, I've had nothing. Been going to those games. You guys know about the one game I played. You don't know about the 100 games I went to watch. And I'm a fan more than anything, and I'm devastated, and it brought me to tears that we are losing our pro hockey team. Long live the Growlers, and I'll forever be only too privileged to have put on that jersey, albeit for a short time. Folks, if you're downtown St. John's, Newfoundland, speaking of, George Street, stop in. Why not stop in for a beer or a coffee or some entertainment? To Trinity Pub, to TJ's Pub, to Rob Roy Confusion, to the Martini Bar, to the Bull and Barrel, and of course, Greensleeves Pub. If you're going to get a bite to eat, try Loose Tie Merchant Tavern, Blue on Water, or Wedgwood Cafe. Wedgwood Cafe also do catering. Check it out. Ryan Power Power Conditioning, strength and balance for the body and mind on Ropewalk Lane. Contact Ryan Power Power Conditioning. You want to get a lube job for your car? For your car. You want to get another lube job? Look elsewhere. But if you want a lube job for your car, look no further than Mr. Lube. Two locations in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. Cameron Road and Torbay Road. Live, laugh, lube. Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to pitbullpainrelief.com, see what all the fuss is about. Of course, last but not least, True Hockey. Take what's yours. Thank you to Corey Gregory and everybody at True Hockey. I love my equipment and I love my sticks. Folks, I'll be back in just a couple of days. And now this week, I will have a guest. Who it's going to be, I don't fucking know. I'm real busy, but tune in, and I promise you I'll have you somebody. Thanks a lot, and I'll catch you guys on the rebound.